We interrupt this program to bring you...
OT, OT.
It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting.
Hour number two of overtime here on this Friday here. 1 hour to go until it is weekend time here. Quick update on the baseballs. 2-0 lead in the bottom of the second up in Lexington. Let's see, Kentucky's got one on, nobody out, but
dropped.
Another single here. Ugh, Kentucky's got two on, nobody out here.
Gross.
See the Tennessee get out another jam here. Had Lucas Panzeek on once again in hour number one in person here. So you can go back and listen to the podcast if you missed any of that. Give a big update on what he's got going on out in Dixon, Tennessee. Talked a lot about the NFL draft. And of course, I had to ask him about the Titans.
Yeah.
Talked about my Raiders a little bit too. Asked him about the Preds and their 2-2 draw right now in their first round series against the Dallas Stars. We just talked about Will Wade and Sean Miller do not have to testify in the FBI trial on bribery and corruption in college basketball. Also talked a lot about Easter, man. Easter weekend's coming up. This is Easter weekend. Technically, it's a day off for a lot of people. Happy Good Friday once again, everybody. Good Friday, Passover, whichever one you prefer, whichever one you celebrate. Easter coming up on Sunday as well. And then we got, of course, as we usually do, veered off into a discussion about Easter food, and then just food in general, and what meals we are anticipating as well. Because hey, anytime there's a big type of holiday, it's got to be a meal, right? Got to be some food you got to dig into
as
well.
Of course.
So we had a lively discussion about that. But it is time once again to turn the attention over to Cole McCormick here. 7 o'clock. You know how we do things here. It's the last one of the week, but we give you the recruiting update brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interior, soon to be KC Kitchen Center next week as well. So exciting time for those guys here. But without further ado, Cole Talk.
All right. Thank you for that intro, Tanner.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's see. Tonight we will start on the hardwood. We will start with some good news. 5-star Tennessee basketball signee Josiah James has been named Mr. Basketball in the state of South Carolina. Congratulations to the young man. Congratulations to him. You know him and you love him, but I will go ahead and update you on his measurables. Mr. James, standing at 6'6", 200 pounds, is from Charleston, South Carolina, out of Porter God High School. Porter God School, excuse me. He is in the 2019 class, as you know. Third overall combo guard in the class, number one player in the state of South Carolina, and 14th best player in the country, according to 247 Sports Rankings. He is a Tennessee signee. Can't wait for him to get on campus. Cannot wait to see him in the orange and white and absolutely demolish the competition. So congratulations to him. Next, we will stick with the hardwood. We talked about him a little earlier in the week and also last week, towards the end of the week. Jalen Cohn, hopefully the point guard of the future for your Tennessee Volunteers. According to Jake Wingarten on Twitter, he tweets, Wake Forest will have their entire staff conducting an in-home visit with 4-star junior Jalen Cohn today, a source has told Stock Risers. Texas A&M's Buzz Williams will also see him tomorrow, and Tennessee's Rick Barnes will see him next Wednesday. So Coach Barnes going to see a very coveted point guard. Mr. Cohn, we've talked about him before. He's in the 2020 class currently, but Tennessee and many other schools are trying to get him to forego his senior year and move up to the 2019 class, and he would be eligible immediately. Mr. Cohn, 5'11", 163-pound point guard out of Walkertown, North Carolina, over at Walkertown High School. 4-star guy, according to 247 Sports Composite Rankings. 12th best point guard in that 2020 class. 4th best player out of the state of North Carolina. And 83rd overall player in the country. Current crystal ball predictions, only one, so 100% to Virginia Tech. Other offers for Mr. Cohn: Virginia Tech, Tennessee, Wake Forest, Texas A&M, Appalachian State, Coastal Carolina, Hampton, Ole Miss, you name it, he's got an offer. So hopefully Coach Barnes can reel in a big fish. I think he could have significant playing time this next year, especially if Jordan Bowden leaves, which it looks like. Jordan Bone leaves. Don't want to scare anybody out there. If he leaves, Mr. Cohn could step in and have a pretty decent impact if he earns it. Next, we will go to the football side of things. Reed Carrico has been given an offer to play at Tennessee. He tweets, "Blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee, #Vols. Mr. Carrico is out of Ironton, Ohio at Ironton High School. He is an athlete in the 2021 class, 6'3", 218 pounds. According to 247 Sports Rankings, he's a four-star guy in the class, 19th overall athlete, and 9th best player in the state of Ohio. Current crystal ball predictions, Ohio native, 100% to Ohio State. Shocking, I know. Other offers come from, of course, Ohio State, Duke, Indiana, Iowa State, Kentucky, and, of course, his hot new Tennessee offer. Next, Marco Domeo has also received an offer from Tennessee. He tweets, "Extremely blessed to announce that I have received an offer from the University of Tennessee, #GBO. Mr. Domeo is a JUCO prospect. He's out of Houston, Texas at Blinn College. Corner in the 2020 class, 6'2", 190 pounds. No rankings at the moment. Only one crystal ball prediction for Mr. Domeo. 100% to the Aggies of Texas A&M. Other offers to go along with his new Tennessee offer come from Texas A&M, of course, Auburn, Houston, Kansas State, and Louisiana, to just name a few. And then last, but certainly not least tonight, a very, very big man Tennessee is currently after has decommitted from Kentucky today. I'm talking about Richie Leonard IV. Mr. Leonard has been committed to Kentucky for quite a while now. He is a offensive tackle in the 2020 class, but he has decommitted today after being on campus for the Orange and White game. So just a few days after returning home from Knoxville, he has decommitted from the Wildcats. Opened the Notes app, wrote a statement via his phone. He says, "First off, I would like to start by thanking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. None of this would be possible without him. Secondly, I'd like to thank my parents for their unconditional support and wisdom throughout my recruitment. I would also like to thank Coach Stoops, Coach Henshaw, Coach Sharman, and the entire staff at the University of Kentucky. They believed in me early on and gave me an opportunity to live my dream and play college football at the D1 level. I would also like to thank the Big Blue Nation for welcoming me with open arms and supporting me throughout my junior season. However, with much thought and prayer, I would like to announce that I will be decommitting from the University of Kentucky. There is no love lost with me and the coaching staff at the University of Kentucky. I just feel as if it's best for me and my family to open my recruitment back up for my senior season. Kentucky is still heavily in consideration. With much love, Richie Leonard." So Mr. Leonard, as I said, offensive lineman, in the 2020 class, 6'3", 315 pounds, an absolute unit on that front line. He's from Cocoa, Florida, out of Cocoa High School. Let's see here. 247 Sports Rankings has him as a three-star guy at the moment. 48th overall guard in the 2020 class. 100th best player out of the state of Florida. Current crystal ball predictions, 100% to Florida State. Very, very interesting, even though he has been a longtime Kentucky commit. Other offers, of course, Florida State and Kentucky, along with Miami, Tennessee, and West Virginia, just to name a few. And if you're Tennessee, if they're really going after another big man in the class, which I'm sure they are, it looks like Coach Pruitt and the staff is putting a lot of stock, time, and effort into the big man on both sides of the ball. This has to be a good sign for them. He was in town over the weekend. He took in all of the orange and white festivities, saw everything he needed to see. Less than a week later, he decommits from an SEC foe. So if you're a Tennessee fan like we are here at the Fan Run Studios, you have to feel good about Mr. Leonard's decision. And that will conclude this Friday edition of the Recruiting Update. Thank you, Tanner.
Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
Greatly appreciate it, per usual here. And as always, per usual, that's brought to you by Knoxville Stone Interiors. Next week, officially undergoing a name change. Yes, they are. It's going to be from Knoxville Stone Interiors to KC Kitchen Center.
Okay.
Fantastic. We've been telling you about the new location off Kingston Pike at the bottom of Bearden Hill for a while now, but we got the new official name coming in here. It's going to be the KC Kitchen Center. Tell you all about it here, but once again, it's going to be the same great service. It's going to be the same experienced staff, same experienced and friendly staff as well. Test kitchen, creative classroom that will have classes that you can attend and sign up for, an event center. And they're going to have the same amount of great selection of countertop options that you'd known that Knoxville Stone Tears has had for over 10 years now. Granite quartz, marble, and more. Hundreds of options for you, all at the best value in Knoxville. Whether you need to update your kitchen countertops, your bathroom sink countertops, any other area in or out of your house, KSI will get the job done, and they will get it done efficiently as well, because most installations will take less than a day. It's going to be, once again, 5902 Kingston Pike. It's KnoxStoneInteriors.com. It's still the website for now. You still go on there. Get yourself a free in-home estimate by filling out a quote request sheet. And also, their number, until things change, is still 865-971-5800. The Kitchen Center, the KC Kitchen Center, opening up next week. 5902 Kingston Pike, across from Food City and next to U.S. Bank as well. It's KC Kitchen Center by Knoxville Stone Interiors, to find folks who have done 9,000 kitchen makeovers and counting. 2-1 Tennessee baseball lead here.
Okay.
Going into the bottom of the third. God, it looks so gloomy up there.
It looks terrible.
What else is new? It is Kentucky.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I'm looking through our window here. We got the sun coming out here.
Okay.
Actually, for at least a little bit. Okay. I know there's more rain on the way. Why has it got to do this?
I don't know.
Why can't it stop raining? I know it's the spring, but... Stop.
Yeah, please.
I just wanted to stop. It's way too annoying here. Right, Kentucky, right here. You've been paying attention to the game a lot since, I mean, it is kind of behind me.
Mm-hmm.
How's it been going here? I know Kentucky got one on.
Yeah. It's an okay baseball game so far. It's an okay baseball game.
Well, okay is fine with me as long as you get a win.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead and get that series win. Hey, you got it. This is an important stretch for Tennessee baseball, man.
It is.
You win this series here. You got Mizzou next week.
Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in a good position of getting to the upper tier of the East Division standings as well.
Yeah.
And the Vols already 28-11 on the season. Did you know those 28 wins right now matches your total win total from last year?
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
28 wins all of 2018. And now you have them on April 19th.
Yeah. So, already improving. Vitello. Looks like he knows what he's doing.
Big fan of the Vitellos.
Love the Vitellos.
I hope that continues to pick up.
Me too.
Big fan of it here. Let's hit the first break of hour number two here, 865-546-8200, as we wind it down here on this Friday. Get you ready for the weekend here. A whole lot more good stuff to come on overtime coming up next. But keep it right here for this short break. You are listening to Fox Sports Knoxville. Well, it's all. Back on overtime, 865-546-8200. Cole, have you seen Dan Mullen's trolling efforts?
A little bit. I've seen some.
I don't like Dan Mullen.
I don't either.
Mainly because he's at Florida.
Mainly because he looks like Cousin Eddie.
He is also Cousin Eddie. I got to give it to him, though. He's a... him and Florida, man. They've been trying to troll a lot. It's actually been pretty funny.
I mean, that's what they do.
It's been pretty funny recently. I got to give it to him as somebody who appreciates a solidly executed troll. Now, When I talk about a solidly executed troll, I'm not talking about like an anonymous troll on Twitter just trying to stir stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like a good one. It's very witty. There's a lot of thought in it. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. You know, that's what I like to think of here. So, getting into what they've done, and they really did with these spring game numbers here. It's about the spring game numbers they were trolling with. First, in the week up until Florida spring game, Mullen was asked a question about the attendance. And Mullen's like, oh, I think we'll have a good number out there. He said something like 41,140. Of course, that's the score of Florida's win over Florida State last year. It's 41-14. Very subtle. Very nice trolling of Florida State.
Yeah.
It's already taken shot at your in-state rival right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It continued. So the actual attendance, it wasn't close to 40,000. Florida didn't have that good of a spring game attendance. But Florida's athletic department, they thought to have a little bit of fun with the quote-unquote actual attendance numbers here. So, Florida announced an official spring game attendance of 39,476. Why is that notable, you might ask? Ask me, Cole. Why is 39,476 a very witty and troll type of number for an official spring game attendance?
Why is that, Tanner?
I'll tell you why. Because they didn't officially announce it here. Somebody had to do a little bit of digging. Read between the lines here. A Florida fan on Reddit, who had a lot of time on his hands, by the way.
Yeah, all those guys do.
Had to have a lot of time on your hands.
The girls, too, on there.
So the 39. It's a shot at Georgia.
Ooh.
This is a shot at the Bulldogs here. I can appreciate this since they're taking a shot at Georgia. I'm not really going to defend Georgia.
Sure.
So Georgia has gone with their last national title in football being 1980. It is now 39 years since their last national title.
Okay.
So that's the 39. In the 39 years without a national title, Georgia has played 476 games. 39,476.
Wow. That is...
I get the nod. The nod right there. That's something Spurrier would have done.
Yeah, that's very Spurrier-esque.
Mullen trying to be a Spurrier himself?
I mean, Spurrier's still on campus. It might have been him.
he probably called Dan after a day out the golf course. Kind of lit.
Oh, of course, always.
Hey, Dan. You know about that? Well, old George has won a national title a long time. I think you might want to take a shot on him right there. Just make a note what their place is.
Mm-hmm.
Spurrier out. Exit the phone.
Spurrier out.
Probably a really pathetic Spurrier impression, but I try my best here. That's good. That's good. I appreciate the subtle troll.
That's very good. Yeah.
You do something with something as dumb as and something that's overanalyzed as spring game attendance.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. I doubt they actually had 39,000 people there.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Kirby Smart was actually asked about this this week. So he was on an Atlanta radio station, 680 The Fan. In his interview, he was asked directly about Dan Mullen and Florida's trolling attempt of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kirby, he was trying to play it off a little bit. You can just tell he was kind of steaming on the inside.
You could tell, yeah.
Kirby Smart said, I'm glad that they feel comfortable talking about. What? I'm glad that they feel comfortable talking about. Is there a missing it or something? That's what the quote is.
I would hope so.
Anyway. Yeah, he didn't want to talk too much about it. Didn't really want to talk too much about it. those radio hosts really tried to bait him in.
Oh, of course.
So credit to Kirby for not at least, trying to take a jab back or something like that.
I mean,
he really could, though. Georgia did beat Florida last year, and they beat them 2-3 years in a row right now?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby
knows.
I don't know
where the streak is at right now.
Kirby knows his program, his team is so much better than what Dan's got going on in Gainesville. He doesn't have to. He'll just beat him again. I'll tell you what, he will retaliate, and it will be this year down in Jacksonville. I don't want to guarantee, but I bet Georgia's going to come out and absolutely, no pun intended, walk the dog on Florida. I bet that's what they do.
I mean, Mullen's definitely giving them a lot of locker room material, but here's the thing. So did Steve Spurrier back in the day. He's trying to see what Spurrier's attitude got Florida.
Yeah.
And I guess Mullen's trying to recreate that.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess. How many exact last games did they want? The world's largest
cocktail party.
Wikipedia is like, oh, it's just a Florida Georgia football rivalry.
Yeah, they don't know.
No, it is always going to be the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
It always will be here. So what's the streak at now? Georgia, just the last two. Georgia's won the last two. But let me look at the actual games here. If I do remember, they've not been – oh, they haven't been close either time. So 36-17 last year, and that's when they were both top 10 teams.
Okay.
And the year before that, of course, that was McElwain's last year, complete annihilation, 42-7.
Whew. You hate to see it.
Is this going to come back to bite Nimmel in the ass?
I think so.
Because he's not Steve Spurrier.
No, he's not.
Dan Mullen, I know he had a tougher job at Mississippi State compared to other jobs. I know he's just getting started at Florida. You really can't kind of call Dan Mullen a bit of an underachiever. I think he's an underachiever in a way. Does he have a good track record of developing quarterbacks? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a good track record of having really good offenses? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he could have been better, though? I think he could have done better in some years. He is at Mississippi State.
I think so too. He kind of flamed out really at Mississippi State. Especially that one year they got what were they like ranked top five or something?
Talking about 2014,
I think so.
That's the year they got to number one for the first
time. Okay, so number one.
They were number one for about as long as Tennessee was in basketball. They were number one for about a solid month.
Yeah, which is absolutely incredible down there in Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
And he still couldn't get anything out of it, which, I understand, the conference, the division, everything goes into it. But still, when your team was number one, you're one of the best teams in the country that year.
They did flame out. That was a Dak Prescott team, too.
Yeah.
They were undefeated going into a road game at Alabama. Of course, they lost to Alabama by five, big whoop. But then they flamed out a little bit. They lost on the road by two touchdowns to Ole Miss, and then they got to the Orange Bowl, and Georgia Tech ran over them.
Yeah, so... he's had some success in certain areas, but when it comes to accolades or games that really matter, that like after he retires, after he's done coaching, what are we going to look back on? As of right now, he doesn't really have a whole lot.
He's certainly set up to prove himself right now in Gainesville, though. He's got that Florida program getting a lot of good momentum going into year number two. They're going to be the bona fide pick to finish second in the East.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Depending on how that team's looking by the time they meet Georgia, they may determine who wins the East.
Yeah.
They're a dark horse pick to make the playoff. I doubt they're going to make the playoff. Yeah. But with the facilities and the recruiting hotbed that you're in right now and just the brand that you can recruit players to, he's set up to prove himself in Florida.
He can, yeah.
Now, we definitely know he's an underachiever if he's just another McElwain of Florida.
Hopefully
just another mediocre coach.
Hopefully so.
That'd be very nice if he was. Man, I'm looking here. I'm looking here at like the other seasons here. So this is the last season with Dak Prescott. 9-4. Not bad. It doesn't look like they lost anybody they weren't supposed to here. 2016 though. Whoo! Remember how they started out 2016 losing to South Alabama?
Yeah.
In Starkville?
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
They had the winner shootout against UMass.
So they
got blown out home at Auburn. They lost in double overtime at BYU. Lost on the road to Kentucky. But then Mullen would always upset some random team. They did beat a top 10 Texas A&M team that year.
Okay.
But then Alabama beat them by 48. And then Arkansas put 58 on them.
Wow.
I did forget about that game.
Wow.
But won the Egg Bowl in blowout fashion. So that's all that really mattered down there, right?
Yeah, you beat Ole Miss.
Just make a bowl game and win the Egg Bowl.
And beat Ole Miss, yeah. Those are two things you have to do. You're keeping your job for as long as you want it.
His last season at Mississippi State had them as high as 16th in the country here. I'm just checking to see if he lost anybody he wasn't supposed to. No, lost back-to-back games at Georgia and at Auburn, both ranked in the top 15. No shocker there.
Mm-hmm.
Lost. Oh, they lost a home against Bama at the very end, right there. Remember that game?
Yeah,
by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, they did. He did lose the Egg Bowl at home.
Ole Miss. Yeah, yeah.
That was the Matt Luke interim year.
It was. Yeah.
Yee.
That's how he got his full time job, right there.
That's really.
That was it.
There, though.
That was it.
Do you think that trolling's still going to buy him though?
Dan Mullen, yes.
I mean, George is going to dance on his grave if he can't back that up this year.
I mean, of all of the rivals and schools to go after, why would you go after Georgia? I mean, why not go? Really, I mean, honestly, like, why
maybe
not?
Maybe he feels like he has to swing at the big dogs.
I mean, why not?
No pun intended.
Why not go after us? They killed us here last year at home.
I mean, Florida really doesn't feel like they need to go after us.
But what I'm saying is,
I get what you're saying.
I don't think our team, like, if he did it to us, are we going to have the ability to really retaliate?
Not in the swamp.
Now, is Georgia?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe he does like to go after the big dog, try to knock the big man off the throne, off the hill. But I don't know. Of all the teams to go after, Georgia's a very odd choice to me.
Florida's always been a school like that, though. Ever since Spurrier got there in the early 90s.
That's been their thing.
That's all they've done. Like, every type of sport, they will just – them and their fans are all about trying to troll people, whether they can back it up or not.
All the degenerates down there.
So, he's just fitting in right along down there in Gainesville there, though.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the troll attempt, though, since it was at Georgia.
I mean, it was very creative.
That was pretty damn funny.
It was.
And the one at Florida State, too.
Yeah. Very creative.
He can't afford to take shots at Florida State now, though. They're already a disaster, and they haven't even gotten to year two Willie Taggart.
Yeah.
The Florida State fans want to fire Willie Taggart in year one.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
See, he can dance on FSU's grave. He has to be careful when going after
Kirby. He better
be,
though. Yeah. You don't go after Kirby.
865-546-8200. We got birthdays coming up next. Stick with us here. You are listening to Overtime. Keep it tuned right here to Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Is that another home run, though?
Is that foul?
Yeah, it was. Foul. Ah, I thought we had another home run here. Birthdays coming up next. Back on Overtime, we got birthdays to get into here. Cole McCormick going to test out his birthday knowledge. Still salty that Lucas can't be here to take on Cole. That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
I know. It would have been fun.
We let slip by because Lucas just had to get some hot chicken.
He's hungry.
Some hole-in-the-wall place.
I don't blame him. I'm hungry, too.
I'm sure it's good, though. Man, I'm craving the dry hot chicken again. That may be a big mistake, but I think I'm in Nashville next week, and I might do it.
I've never had hot chicken.
I might swing by Prince's. I will give you a warning. Okay. Well, let me ask you this first. How are you on spicy foods?
Hate it.
Okay.
It's one of the main reasons I hadn't had hot chicken.
Get it mild, then.
Mild,
because what you think you're getting, it's going to be one level hotter. Because I got medium when I first got mine. My entire face.
Yeah.
My entire face felt like I was about to just...
I could imagine.
I thought I was about to get paralyzed. Thought I was going to get paralyzed in my face. I'm not a weenie when it comes to spicy foods. Yeah. I don't go after like the triple atomic wings all the time, but yeah. I get like if I get regular hot wings, I'll do like medium to hot.
Okay,
I'm not afraid of spicy foods. That though, whew. Yeah, get mild,
man.
I would get mild if I was you.
I've never been a big spicy food guy. I don't know why. I mean, I love food. I love to eat, but it's just never really appealed to me. I just don't like it. I don't know. I kind of wish I did. There's a lot of foods I would love to enjoy, but it's just the way it is. It's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Let's get into birthdays, though.
Okay.
With the Vols taking a 3-1 lead up in Kentucky, there was a RBI double just during the break here. Vols trying to add on some runs up in the top of the fourth with two outs and one on. Let's get into birthdays here. Kobe got 11.
Wow.
8 from today.
Wow.
So let's go ahead and get started here.
Okay.
38 years old today. He's an actor. Look up country of origin. He's Canadian, actually. I had no clue he was Canadian. He's a Canadian actor and producer. He's really only known for this one role. He is known for his portrayal of Anakin Skywalker in the Star Wars. It was just in Star Wars Episode 2 and 3. He was Anakin Skywalker, soon to be Darth Vader.
He's third, so like the new movies, I guess.
No, the prequels, as in the ones that came out in the early to mid 2000s.
Oh my!
And that's really it.
Oh, I have no idea.
And Hayden Christensen.
Okay.
Can you see his face at least? Did you not watch the prequels?
No.
Ah. Oh, from one.
Ah.
Let's continue, though. Plenty of opportunities here. I'll give you an easy one. She's 33 today. She is a WNBA champion, multi-time All-Star, MVP, etc., and a Lady Vol.
Candace Parker?
It's Candace Parker.
Oh, Candy.
Easy one for you. Happy 33rd birthday
to
the
Queen. My favorite Lady Vol of all time.
Queen Candace.
Yeah.
She's 32 today, this next one here. You're one for two. She is a Russian tennis player. She's also been a United States resident since the mid-90s, though. Let's see. She's got a career Grand Slam, including two French Opens and a 2004 win at Wimbledon when I think she was like 17.
Is it Sharapova?
Maria Sharapova.
Okay.
Yep. Two for three, Cole.
It's only Russian tennis player I know.
I think that's the only real notable one, unless you're like a big tennis junkie.
I'm not.
I figured. 54 today. He's a former American record producer and music executive. He's currently incarcerated in prison. He is a co-founder and former CEO of Death Row Records.
Suge Knight.
It is Suge Knight.
Yeah. Killed Eazy-E. Allegedly. Kind of allegedly.
Wait, I haven't heard this one.
You know who Eazy-E is?
I know Eazy-E, but okay. I also know he died of AIDS. You're saying that Suge Knight gave him AIDS?
He did, but like, there's a theory out there that like, Suge Knight had something to do with like some kind of like bad needles or something Eazy had.
Ew.
And so people kind of blame his death on Suge. Because of the whole, like, Death Row Records.
Now that I think about it.
Like, after the Boys in the Hood came out, like that, like, all the stuff about all what happened back then kind of resurfaced, and I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
So some people think he, like, killed Eazy, but, like, you know, not, like, shooting him or something, but, like, undercover having something to do with the way he got AIDS. Yeah, so, like, a lot of people think, like, bad, like, needle syringes, you know, stuff like that.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him, though.
I know.
Cole, I haven't heard that conspiracy theory. That's something for me not to hear one. Congrats to you.
It's something to look up. It's intense.
Let's keep going here, though. Yeah, that's I'll be thinking about that one for a minute here. This is by far the worst one on here, but I had to include her anyway. She's 51 today. American actress. Kind of big in the 90s and also known for like B-movie roles, I guess. She's a super fan of an SEC basketball team, too. That should give it away.
Of an SEC basketball. Oh. Ashley Judd?
Yeah. Okay. I was going to judge. I'm like, really?
Ashley Judd.
Boo!
Boo!
Boo! You suck.
Boo this man!
40 years old today. Another actress here. The origin, I think, is American. Yes, she's American actress, singer, author, and fashion designer. She rose to prominence for her performance in the film Almost Famous back in 2000. She won a Golden Globe, and she was nominated for a Oscar for the Best Supporting Actress. She's also been in films such as How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Raising Helen, The Skeleton Key, You, Me, and Dupree, Fool's Gold, Bride Wars, and Deepwater Horizon.
40. You, Me, and Dupree. Who was that? Was that Kate Hudson?
It is Kate Hudson.
Okay, I thought so.
Look at you. Yep, Kate Hudson. Happy 40th birthday to her. Let's move on here. A couple more for today. He's 41. American actor. One of the most beloved right now. He is known for roles such as the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy, 127 Hours, Eat, Pray, Love, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Pineapple Express.
Is that it?
Do I need to keep going?
Please.
No. This is the end. The Disaster Artist, Spring Breakers.
Is it James Franco?
It is James Franco.
Okay.
There you go. Love some James Franco.
I do too.
Man. Big fan of Frankie. It was weird to watch him in like other roles as I got older because like he's always going to be Harry Osborn to me.
Always.
He's
yes.
always going to be Norman's son. He's going to be the fake Green Goblin in Spider-Man 3.
It was very odd for me because, you know, he turned into like the evil character as Spider-Man went on, but now he's just the biggest goober in Hollywood outside of maybe like Seth Rogen.
No, and also known for The Interview, obviously.
Love
it
that
didn't
movie.
Have this right here in the first, but
love that movie.
Love his role in The Interview. I mean, man, Eminem came out of the closet to him.
He did.
Eminem is gay on our show. Eminem is gay on our show. Move on here. Final birthday for today. Oh, one of the goats. He's 73 today. English actor and comedian. He's done a bunch of different stuff all over the spectrum here, but he got his first role, first prominent role. He was Dr. Frankenfurter on the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And other films such as It, the original TV version. He was Pennywise.
Tim Curry.
It is Tim Curry. There you go. Did you also know Tim Curry was the voice of Sir Nigel Thornberry on The Wild Thornberrys?
I don't know what that is.
On Nickelodeon, you never watched The Wild Thornberrys. This is like in your childhood, in our childhood. It ran from 98 to 04.
I don't know.
The Wild Thornberrys?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Wow. Kind of shot that was kind of a big show. Damn.
Maybe if I saw it, but the name doesn't really ring a bell.
They travel in that RV across the world. They had the daughter, Eliza. She could talk to animals. She had that gift like she can talk to animals.
No.
Okay, then.
No.
Wow, you must have missed out.
It sounds like it.
But you at least got Tim Curry, though. Let's move on to tomorrow. 420. No, Hitler is not on here.
Good.
Not we're not doing Hitler's birthday.
Neither weed. It's not weed's birthday either.
I don't think the first marijuana plant was planted in April 20th.
Oh. But.
It's unofficial.
Oh.
Happy birthday to marijuana.
Happy birthday, weed.
These three do have a birthday tomorrow. She'll be 47, American model and actress. Let's get the roles up here. If I can get the page. Here we go. She's one of the big stars of the 90s here. Came to fame for her role as Lonnie McKenzie on Baywatch. She's been in films such as American Vampire. And she has roles in multiple parody films, including Scary Movie, Date Movie, Epic Movie, Meet the Spartans, and Disaster Movie. And she has also appeared as a model in Playboy. She was married to Dennis Rodman for, like, not even a year.
I feel like I know this. Who's married to Dennis? Is it Carmen Electra?
It's Carmen Electra. You got it.
Okay.
47 tomorrow. Next up, he'll be 28 tomorrow. He is an NFL linebacker. Played his college football, if I can get it up here, played for Boston College. He's been with the same team since 2012.
Boston College?
He's a six-time Pro Bowler.
Boston College.
You should know this.
I don't know any Boston. I mean, outside of Matt Ryan.
Led the NFL in tackles his rookie season.
Who does he play for? In the NFL.
That would be too easy. I'm going to tell you it's in the NFC, though.
Okay.
NFC South.
NFC South.
Go on.
Say, is it?
Got it.
Panthers.
Luke
Kuechly?
Kuechly, I'm getting it. Yeah, Kuechly? Luke Kuechly. Okay. You got it. Finally, tomorrow, he'll be 82. How about this? A list with no dead people, by the way.
Finally.
This is a rarity here. He'll be 82, American actor, director, author, and activist, most known for his role as Sulu on the original TV adaptation of Star Trek, the original Star Trek. And he's portrayed this character in 6 Star Trek feature films.
I've never seen Star Trek.
He's also known for like being a political activist, too. I will say he is also Japanese-American, if that helps.
Oh, my. Political activist is on Star Trek. I have no idea.
George Takei. Don't know the name?
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was Sulu.
Okay.
That was only the second one you didn't get, though, Cole. You did 9 out of 11. Did pretty good.
Okay, I'll take it.
Did pretty good. Very good ratio right there. And it's still 3-1 up in Lexington, 2, bottom of the 4th, 1-on, 2 out for Kentucky. That does it for birthdays here. And one more segment, and that'll do it for us on this week on Overtime. One last chance to get on here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Be back to wrap up the show after this. We'll be right back.
somewhere in this town. See, me and the boys, we don't like it.
Back to wrap up overtime, last segment of the week here before we get you into your, to your Easter weekend. If you're possibly going to Mississippi, or even like around here especially, let me tell you why. Because today, the Mississippi State Department of Health is warning people they may have been exposed to measles by a Tennessee man who was traveling in their state earlier this month.
Oh, no.
Health officials say the man traveled through Hattiesburg. Isn't that where Southern Miss is?
Yeah, that's South Mississippi.
They were there on, this dude was there April the 9th and the 10th, and he may have exposed others to the disease.
Oh.
It's listing all the places this dude was at. The man was inside Subway at Circle K.
Wow.
This place on Highway 11. He was at a Raising Cane's.
Okay.
Woo.
Love some fast food.
In Hattiesburg. Where is this?
Where's this guy from?
This dude is from East Tennessee.
Oh, no.
That's right, so who knows where he's from around here?
Oh, no.
It says, however, officials emphasize that the risk is low for those who have been vaccinated. The state of Tennessee confirmed its first case of measles of 2019 yesterday. They would only say a resident of East Tennessee was diagnosed with measles.
Ugh. How do you get that nowadays?
You don't get the vaccination.
Look
here. That's how you don't get it, because people are idiots.
Yeah.
People are idiots. People believe stupid chain mail on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Posted by your crazy uncle or crazy aunt about vaccines, and then they don't get them, and then you get the measles. Then you get the measles.
Yeah.
And you get all sorts of other things you get if you don't get a simple vaccination. It's not that hard.
That's a good point. All good points. Yeah, it's an easy thing to avoid, but unfortunately, there are those out there that decide to not partake.
I know Mississippi has released a warning, but this dude's from around here.
Yeah.
And we don't know where in East Tennessee.
Luckily for me, I got the measles vaccine.
I do too.
As everybody should, in my opinion.
That's one of the. Is that one of your like shots when you go into kindergarten, or is that something you
that's
get?
That's
when like,
you get
later?
Young, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Young. So everybody down there in Mississippi that's either getting them or that might be getting them, I don't know.
It's an extremely highly contagious disease.
Yes, it is. Hey, I feel fine, though. Bring it on.
And also, annual total of cases across the country measles continue to approach record levels.
Mm-hmm. You know why that is?
Because the general public is stupid.
That's what I was going to say, because there are record levels of stupidity out there in the world, especially in our country we love.
The officials haven't specified which county, which I get they're protecting personal identification and stuff. I'd like to know what county this person's been around.
Yeah, I would
I'd
too.
Really like to know.
Yeah, I would too.
Oh. The news coincides with a surge in measles cases in both the U.S. and abroad. 90 cases were reported across the country last week.
Ugh.
It has brought the total for this year to 555 in 20 states.
Ooh, golly.
This is according to the CDC.
This should not be a thing anymore. Measles.
This is the second highest total since measles was declared, quote, eliminated in the U.S. back in 2000.
Shouldn't be a thing. We should be done with this.
Right here, too. The jump in cases nationally has been fueled in part by the anti-vaccination movement, the CDC said, as the majority of people who contract measles have not been vaccinated. Well, that's just awesome.
Shocker.
That's just fantastic. The full measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, it consists of two shots that are typically administered during childhood. It is widely available and, quote, is one of the most effective vaccines that we have. According to Tennessee State epidemiologist, Dr. Tim Jones.
Hmm.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
Why does this have to happen?
I can't tell you. I can't.
You're putting so many people at risk when you do this.
Yeah.
You're putting so many people at risk. I just... It irks me a lot.
Yeah.
It really does irk me a lot. It's something that's so simple, right?
Yeah. No, yes.
It is so simple to take care of this, but yet for some reason, people will just believe any type of thing that seeks to scare them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Slightly annoying.
It's not slightly. It is annoying.
Just slightly annoying. What are we going to do about the whole anti-vax movement?
wait till they die off? I don't know.
Because I don't know what you can do. You can't, like,
you can't force them. People. Yeah, I mean, just wait till they contract something.
You shouldn't live in a government that forces people, but you need to be publicly scolded if you don't.
Yeah.
You need to be shamed into doing this, what you really need to
do. I mean,
do.
No, they do, yeah. I mean, because you can't be giving people all kind of crap that you have because you refuse to be vaccinated for whatever reason you have. I don't know what you do to it. I don't know. Have them contract whatever they're scared of getting from the vaccination. Let them actually get it, and then, whoop, see ya.
Yeah. We got good news to end the show, though, especially if you're a fan of a certain chain called Pals.
Pals!
Pals Sudden Service. In USA Today's regional fast food poll, it placed second.
Really?
Second. Wow. Tri-Cities-based Pals Sudden Service beat out several other franchises for a high ranking in USA Today's regional fast food survey voted on by its readers. The home of the sauce burger placed second on the list, only coming behind Habit Burger, which is located in 11 states out in the West. It is known for its charburger.
Okay.
So you lost to a Western chain. Not okay. bad. Other familiar names that made the prestigious rundown includes Sheetz, which is fourth. Quaker Steak and Lube at 6, Cookout 7th, and Crystal at 8th.
Okay. Wow.
How about that? Closest Pal still out in Jefferson City, and they got a couple out in Morristown.
I've never been.
Shout out the Pals, you need to go.
I want to.
Make the short pilgrimage over to Jefferson City.
Okay.
You will not regret it.
Okay.
Shout the Pals. Shout to the Basevals. Still with a lead over Kentucky. And shout to us and you, dear listener, for getting through another week here. Overtime's hitting the break here. Be back with you on Monday. Y'all have a good Easter weekend, and we will see you then.